It's good, amen. You ever been overwhelmed by the goodness of God? I imagine you have. God is good, amen. We're in John chapter 13 tonight. We'll continue to study on lessons from the life of Peter. I got to say this. Brother Allen said he didn't. Why didn't you raise your hand, Brother Allen? Brother Allen said he wanted to raise his hand on a promise, Pastor. He said, spare the rod. Spoil the child. He said that's a promise from the Word of God, right? I said you should have raised your hand on that one, Brother Allen. That's a promise. Amen. That's not one we like to hear, but it's a fact. It's a truth. God's Word's always right. Amen. But John chapter number 13. I'm gonna preach a message tonight. I told you I gotta quit saying things that I'm gonna do because I don't always follow through with them. If you'll remember before missions conference, I said I was gonna preach on Peter's collapse right after missions conference. But I began to study and began to look at some things, and I may even pull some things out of this chapter when I do begin to talk about that, and I'm not going to say it'll be next week. But as I began to study for that message, I came across this passage in John 13, and I really felt like God wanted me to preach this message on a different thought. And then I found out that didn't dawn on me that tonight was the Lord's table, but God just works all things together. And so I want to preach to you tonight on another lesson from the life of Peter. And tonight's lesson is on cleansing. It's on cleansing. We see here in John chapter number 13, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And I want to look at some of these things. The first thing I want us to see about this event is the exchange. Look at verse number 6 of John 13. The Bible says this. It says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter." Here's our man. "And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" And the Bible says in verse 7, "Jesus answered and said unto him." So we have an exchange here. We got Peter asking a question, and we got Jesus giving an answer. You know, as I've been thinking about that, I'm thankful for Peter's questions in the Bible. As I've been studying the life of Peter, I keep coming across where Peter, you know, people give Peter a hard time. They say Peter's always very impetuous, and Peter is. They say Peter's always asking questions and speaking out of turn. But, you know, as I read my Bible and as I study the life of Peter, I sure am thankful for the questions that Peter asked because I've learned a lot from Peter's questions. You know, it's good to ask questions. Nothing wrong with asking questions. I don't see one time in this passage where Jesus rebukes Peter for asking the question. Now, I do see where there's a little bit of an argument there. Peter tries to argue with the Lord, how silly that is. But that's after Peter asked the question. You see in verse number 6, Peter asked the question. "Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Question mark. So we see this exchange, and the first part of this exchange is the asking. Peter asked Jesus a question, and I don't see Jesus rebuke Peter. Verse 7 says, Jesus answered. He said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." He said, "Peter, you're going to understand." He says, "You don't understand now, but one day you will." You know, that's a promise from the Bible. One day it's all going to make sense, brother. One day the things that we don't understand, we will understand. I don't know. Some things we don't even need to understand. You mentioned something, Pastor, it made me think. When I did the funeral a couple weeks back, I was talking with the family, and one of the ladies I was talking with, she said that she sat with people, and she didn't say that she was a Christian. I don't know if she is or not, but she sat with elderly people, and she was talking about how that she sat with Miss Woods, Pastor Woods from up Greene County, right before she passed, and she was telling me about this, and she said, you know, she said, Miss Woods, when she was near the end of her life, she said she was pretty much bedridden, and she said, Miss Woods would often say, "Honey, come over here and just get into bed with me, and let's talk." And she said, so I'd crawl up into bed beside her and I'd lay down and we began to talk. And she said, you know, one day, she said, we were talking and she said, I told Miss Woods, she said, you know, Miss Woods, I can't. So she did say she was a Christian. I said, I didn't know she was. She said she was a Christian. She said, you know, Miss Woods, she said, I can't wait to get to heaven one day. She said, you know, there's a lot of questions that I want to ask him. And Miss Woods, some of you know Miss Woods. I didn't know Miss Woods, but many of you do. A saint of God, been serving God for many years. She said, Miss Woods, just as sweet and just as serious as she could say, she said, she looked over at her and she said, you know, honey, when you get to heaven, I doubt it's really going to matter. That's a mic drop right there, right? I mean, Miss Woods said, honey, you got a lot of questions, but one day they're probably not going to matter. You know, a lot of the things that we wonder about, and we got questions about, and we ask why, and we ask what, and we got all these questions. One day when we get to heaven, it's not going to matter. All those things are going to be gone. Jesus said, Peter, one day you're going to understand. He said, you don't understand right now, but you will understand. I don't know if Jesus is saying here in a couple minutes, because I believe Jesus explains some things to Peter. Possibly Jesus was saying, Peter, you're going to understand here in just a moment when I explain it to you. Or maybe Jesus was saying, Peter, even after I explain it to you, you're not going to fully understand it, but one day you will. One day, Peter, when I'm gone and I send my Holy Spirit and when things have changed, one day it's going to make sense to you. And so we see the exchange. We see the asking of Peter. Peter asked Jesus a question. As I said, it's good to ask questions. You know, I was thinking about this and I'm kind of just chasing a rabbit here. But, you know, I don't ever want to get to the place where people can't ask me questions. I want my children to be okay with asking me questions. I don't see Jesus rebuking Peter for asking a question. There's nothing wrong with us asking questions. You know, sometimes we have questions. And I believe, actually I'll go beyond saying there's nothing wrong with it. I believe the Bible teaches that God wants us to ask him questions. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 5, it said that, what's James 1, 5? I got to think about it. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. James said, hey, if you've got a question, hey, ask God. If you don't understand something, he said, ask God. There's nothing wrong with asking. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. He said, they that seek me, when they seek me with their whole heart, they shall find me. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Right? Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. He's saying, hey, you come to me. You want to know what I think? Ask me. Yeah. And Peter asked Jesus a question. It's good for us to ask the Lord questions. It's good for us to allow our children to ask us questions. I want our young people, and I mean this. I am not at all saying this. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I want our young people to know that if they have a question, they can come to their youth pastor and ask that question. Now I realize some people ask questions because they want to stir up something. They want to start something. Yeah. But if you sincerely don't understand something and you want to know why we do something we do, if there's a person in this church and you say, you know, I don't understand why we do some things the way that we do them, can I tell you, I can speak on behalf of our pastor, ask him. Go to somebody and ask them. If we ever get to the place where somebody can't approach us and ask us a question, we're in a bad place. Right. Peter came to Jesus. Jesus didn't rebuke Peter. He answered him. And so we see the exchange. And I thank God for the exchanges of Peter and Jesus. You know, Peter was always asking questions. Can I tell you, I don't think it was always for Peter's sake. I think it was for everybody's sake. I'm just imagining, I might be reading a little bit too much into it, but I just know people. And I believe that Peter was probably that guy that, you know, everybody was saying, hey, you ask him. You ask him, right? They were all looking at each other. What's he doing? Well, they're all looking at Peter. You know, everybody knows Peter, right? I had this happen to me last week. It's kind of funny and has nothing to do with the message, but we went and played. I could try to. Now's my opportunity, right? We went and played disc golf with Brother Keith and his son Isaac, and you know, we were whooping them just so everybody knows, okay? We were up 3 strokes. And we fell apart. And there's reasons for that, but I won't go into it now. But anyway, so they ended up coming back and beating us, right? Brother Keith didn't mention that part. But they came back and they did beat us. They beat us by 1 stroke. We had an opportunity. I'm meddling here, but we had an opportunity on the last 2 holes. But anyway, I got to get away from that. But that night after we come to church, Isaac come up to me, Brother Keith's son. He come up to me and he said, man, I had a good time today. I said, yeah, me too. He said, we ought to do it again. And I said, yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, and I kind of want to do it again. I don't like losing. I wanted a rematch. And I think Isaac wanted a rematch. and so Isaac said, he said, we ought to try to do it again. And he kept on mentioning it to me, and I knew where he was going. I've got kids, right? Finally, I wouldn't bite. He was throwing the bait, and I wouldn't bite. So finally, he just came out and said, hey, won't you ask my dad? I said, you ask him, right? I said, now you ask him. And then he went over there. I literally heard him say this standing out in the carport as we was leaving the church. He said, hey, Dad. He said, Brother David wanted me to ask you. He said, Brother David wanted me to ask you if we could play disc golf again tomorrow, but it was calling for 100% chance of rain on Wednesday, and so we didn't play, but we was going to try to, right? But you know, so I picture Peter as that person, right? Everybody's saying, hey, ask Peter. Peter, go ask him, right? And thank God Peter asked Jesus some questions. If you go through the Gospels and you look at all the questions that Peter asked Jesus, and then you think about all the lessons that we learn because of Peter's questions, you'll be thankful we asked him too. And so we see the exchange, and then after the exchange, I see the explanation. Look at verse number 8. So Jesus, Peter asks a question. Jesus answers the question. Verse 8, I almost put a point here about his arguing, but I'm not going to mention that tonight because I may mention that next week. But in verse number 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. I mean, he began to argue with the Lord Jesus. He said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. I'm going to say something about that in a minute. Jesus is not saying, Peter, if you don't let me do this, then you're not going to go to heaven. I can make it very clear. Jesus teaches it very clear here that he's not talking about that. But in verse number 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I mean, Peter's all over the place, man. I can just relate with Peter. I mean, Peter, he one minute, no, Lord, you can't wash, you're not washing my feet. Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you got no part of me. Wash my head, my hands. Lord, wash it all, right? I mean, Peter is on a roller coaster ride, man. I mean, he's up, he's down, he's all over the place. But Peter loved Jesus. No doubt about it. Peter loved the Lord. And Jesus loved Peter. And we see Jesus' explanation. Jesus begins to explain to Peter what he means, and he talks about this cleansing, and that's my message tonight. We're talking about a lesson on cleansing. And the Bible says in verse number 8, Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Peter says, well, wash me all over, Jesus. In verse number 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Jesus begins to explain what he's talking about to Peter. Verse number 10 is a very interesting verse. Many of you have heard it preached, maybe some of you haven't. But that word in verse number 10, washed right there, that's a different word than the word wash or washed anywhere else in this section of Scripture. If you don't believe me, go home and look it up. If you look this word up in a Greek concordance, a Strong's concordance, you will see that that word washed that Jesus used in verse, I keep wanting to say washed. Hey, man, he said washed, right? I'm trying to get all of y'all in on this message this evening. See, there's some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but if I say washed, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I know what he's talking about now, right? Jesus said, Peter, you know, you got to be washed, right? In verse number, I shouldn't have ever said that. That's going to eat me all night now. He that is washed, he said, that word washed there in verse number 10, that is a complete cleansing. That's what that word is. If you look it up, that word means to be fully or completely bathed or to be washed, to be cleansed. So Jesus is not talking when he said in verse number 8 to Peter, he said, if I wash thee not, that word wash in verse number 8 is not the same word as in verse number 10. See, in verse number 8, it is a partial washing. As if someone would wash their hands. Or as if what Jesus was talking about in this story, washing their feet. It's a partial cleansing, right? And in the Greek, it is a different word, and it means to partially be cleansed. But that word in verse number 10, it is a full cleansing. It's a full washing. It is a full bathing. I'll give you a couple of verses that use that same word that's used in verse number 10. How about this one? Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, that word washing in Titus 3:5 is the same word washing in John chapter 13, verse 10. That's that complete full washing. See, we're washed. We're washed by the blood. I like this one in Revelation. Pastor always quotes that one in Revelation. In Revelation, the Bible says in verse number five, I believe it is, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Aren't you glad he loved you? It said unto him that loved us, and it says this, and washed us, right? He says unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Same washed right there. You see, that's that complete washing. You see, when you were washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you were completely washed. They sang about it this morning. I was thinking about that song. It says, "Where my sins are in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west." You see, he doesn't remember them no more. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, I believe it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You see, your sins have been washed. They've been cleansed. They've been forgiven. They've been wiped away. They've been cast as far as the east is from the west. That's that washing he's talking about. He said, Peter, they that have been washed, they that have been cleansed, they that have been saved, he said, they don't need that washing again. That verse right there refutes those that don't believe in eternal security. Jesus said, if you've been washed, you don't need to be washed again. It don't get much clearer than that. When you're saved, you're saved. Pastor quoted it, John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No, not never. Right. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, when you're saved forever. You say, well, in verse number 10, Brother David, he says, but not all, right? Look at it, verse number 10. He said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew, look at this, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, John wanted us to know, the apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, just in case somebody got it mixed up and thought that Jesus was teaching Peter that he could lose his salvation, John said, because you could say, well, he said, they'd have been washed, but not all. You know, you ain't been completely washed, Peter. You need to get washed again. John said, just in case anybody gets it mixed up, I want to, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I want to clarify why Jesus said not all. He said not all because he knew who was going to betray him. Judas was there. Jesus said, see, Peter, he said, you're washed. John, he's washed. Right? The other disciples, my mind just went blank. I was going to start naming them, right? He said, they're washed, but there's one, he's not washed. I hope there's not one of them here tonight. There's another verse. Go to it. Turn to it, please. 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians. Hold your place here. Go to 1 Corinthians. I didn't write this verse down, but I like it. I want to share it with you. Talking about being washed. Somebody ought to get excited about being washed tonight. Amen. I ain't trying to work nothing up here, but I'm trying to tell you, brethren, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've been washed. You're clean. That guilt of sin, that stain of sin, that filth of sin is gone. It's in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, I believe it is. Look at this in verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, Brother David, I think I found myself in that list. Me too. But I like the next verse. And such were some of you. Right? But look at what he says. And such were some of you. Here's our word from John 13, verse 10. Here's that word that's talking about being washed all over. Not that word about washing your feet. Not that word about washing your hands. It's that word about washing your whole body. Here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 in verse number 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. Ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Brethren, we've been washed. Amen. Amen. That is a complete cleansing. Jesus said, Peter, I'm explain what I'm talking about tonight. There is a complete cleansing. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5 says, husbands, love your wives. You say, why'd you throw that in there, Brother David? Because Jesus did. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Why did Jesus give himself for the church? That he might sanctify it and cleanse it? With the washing of water by the word. That's that same washing word right there. He said by the washing of water by the word that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, that's the kind of washing. That's that complete washing. Have you been washed tonight? Have you had your sins forgiven? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been saved by the good grace of God? If you have, you're clean. Amen. Amen. You're clean. That's a complete cleansing. But Jesus says, Peter, now I believe Jesus has begun to explain some things to Peter. See, Peter, he said, Peter, you've been washed, that complete cleansing. He said, that has to do with your union with me or your relationship with me. But I'm not talking about that washing tonight, Peter. He said, I'm not talking about that complete washing, that complete cleansing. He said, no, I'm talking about that continual washing, that continual cleaning. That's what Jesus is talking about in verse number 8 when he said, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, he said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. He says, Peter, if I don't wash you, you're going to lose fellowship with me. That word part, it means that you have no, I looked it up. It talks about like a portion. He said, you have no portion. You've lost ground with me, Peter. That's what he's saying. He said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you're going to lose some ground with me. See, you supposed, but Jesus, you said I'm clean. I know, Peter. But see, you got to understand something. And Peter, I believe, understood this. And the disciples understood this. It's a little different for us. We may not completely understand this. But, you know, those men in that day, they say, many of them said that they had bathhouses in a village. And many of them would go down to the bathhouse, and that's where they would bathe. That's where they would get washed. But then as they walked back to their house, their feet would get dusty again. And then they would have to wash their feet, right? Or maybe they went down to the river. Some of you older folks in here, you Brother Allen, he grew up bathing in the river. I'm just playing. You know, some of you that have been around before water, right, before running water, they used to bathe in the river. They get clean. But then they wore those sandals and they would walk back to the house or back to the village in those dusty roads and their feet would get dirty. And Jesus said, Peter, you need your feet washed. Peter, you need that continual cleansing. And that's what Jesus is teaching us tonight. We as Christians, you know our feet get dirty. When we walk through this world that we're living in, this old sin-cursed world that we're living in, when we rub shoulders with those that we work with, and some of you young people, those that you go to school with, you know what happens? If we're not careful, we'll get our feet dirty. And Jesus says, Peter, you need a continual cleansing. Yes, Peter, you've been washed. You've had that complete washing, that complete cleansing that comes when you trust me as your Savior and your sins are forgiven. But Peter, along life's way, you're going to get your feet dirty. I'm not so sure. I mean, later in this chapter, Jesus tells Peter that he's going to deny him. Maybe that's what Jesus is talking about when he tells Peter, you don't understand now, but you will. After you deny me, Peter, after you go back to fishing, Peter, after you start cursing again, Peter, after you start lying again, Peter, when you go back to that old ways of yours, Peter, when you revert back to those fisherman ways, Peter, you don't understand right now, but you will understand. You're going to need your feet washed. You're going to need some cleansing. And so Jesus gives Peter an explanation. He talks about that continual cleansing. Can I tell you, brethren, we got to continually be cleansed. I know I'm talking. I thought about it as I was preaching tonight. I thought, man, I'm coming in here preaching to a Sunday night crowd, an independent Baptist church, faithful to church. Most of you was in church all week, last week. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But you know, sometimes we just got to be reminded. We need to be clean. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse number 3, Jesus said in John 15, verse number 3, he talked about, he said, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. See, this Bible will clean us up. That's why we got to get in the Bible. You've heard it said before, this book right here will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You say, why do you, Brother David, here's one of them questions. Maybe there's a young person here and you haven't been willing to come and ask the question, but maybe you're wondering. You say, why do you always talk about reading your Bible? Because it'll keep you clean. Why we got such an emphasis around here on memorizing scripture? Because it'll keep you clean. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? The word of God will keep us clean. That's why we make a big deal about memorizing and quoting and reading and preaching the word of God. That's why we're in church as often as we can be, because we know this book right here will keep us clean, brethren. You see, we're living in a dirty world. We're living in a sin-cursed world. We're living in a filthy world. I mean, Pastor talked about it this morning. I mean, this world is wicked. And you know what's going to keep us clean in this wicked world? The word of God. He said, being washed by the word of God. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Right? So we need this word right here. We need to get the Bible in our hearts, and we need to get the Bible in our minds, and we need to get the Bible in our lives, because this going to keep us clean. But not only do we need the Bible, we need to confess. I quoted it tonight because it was on my heart when I come in here. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us, right? There's our word, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think chapter 2 verse 1 says, talks about, oh my goodness, he have a propitiation for our sins. Yeah. He said, we have an advocate with the Father, right? Jesus Christ, the righteous. When you do mess up, you got a Savior. And if you'll go to him and you'll ask him to forgive you, he'll wash your feet and he'll clean you up. You see, we got to confess sin. I wonder how much, I asked our young people this morning in Sunday school, how do you feel when you sin? I hate sin. I believe I'm talking to a group of people tonight that hate sin. We can't take this thing of sin lightly. When we sin, it ought to break our hearts. It ought to bother us. See, the sin will break fellowship. I told you that complete cleansing has to do with our union. It has to do with our relationship. But this continual cleansing, it has to do with communion. It has to do with fellowship. I don't want to break fellowship with God. I want to be in communion with the Lord. And I believe you do. But you know what it's going to take? Confessing our sin. When we do wrong, we got to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I lied. You say, you lied, you better believe it. But you probably have too. God, I'm sorry, I lusted. Right? God, I'm sorry. You could go on and on with the God. I'm sorry that I have that judgmental spirit. God, I'm sorry for saying that. God, I'm sorry for thinking that. I like to alliterate everything. God, I'm sorry for lying. God, I'm sorry for lusting. God, I'm sorry for being lazy. Laziness is sin. Some of us probably just need to get at an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm sorry for being lazy. I'm sorry for not getting up and reading your word. God, I'm sorry that I'm too lazy to spend time in prayer. God, I'm sorry that I'm not doing what I know I ought to do. Amen. God, I'm sorry. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of our sin, or where the word of God shows us our sin, we've got to be willing to confess it. Amen. He that confesseth is his sin, right? Let's get to sin, right? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth, he shall have mercy, right? I don't know if that's King James word perfect, but I know it's in there. If you cover your sin, you're not going to prosper. Remember, David covered his sin. David covered his sin, and he said, oh man, you read Psalm 51, David's talking about how he felt dirty, how he was filthy. He said, man, God, he said, my sin is ever before me. God, I sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. And he said, God, I'm dirty. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. David, after he sinned, he tried to cover his sin, but it made him miserable. You read Psalm 33, I believe it is, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, he talked about how that he was, how he said his bones waxed old through his roaring day and night. He said, my I've cried till my tear ducts have dried up. Why? Because of my sin. And then finally, David quit. Nathan came to David and told David, David, thou art the man. You know what David could have done? He could have killed Nathan, but you know what he did? He confessed his sin. And David said, now I'm clean. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David said, God, restore, renew a right spirit within me. David got his song back. David got his joy back. David got his fellowship back. David got his feet washed. We got to get real about sin. Sin will destroy our lives. It'll destroy our homes. It'll destroy our church. You see, we got to continually be confessing our sin. I'm afraid I'm meddling here, and I got to move on. I know we got communion tonight, but I'm afraid in our independent Baptist churches, we preach grace so much, and we've preached forgiveness of sin so much that we got some people coming up thinking, well, I'm saved by grace, and I'm forgiven by the grace of God, and you know, I'm saved forever, and I've got eternal security, and I don't ever have to worry. But can I tell you, brethren, hey, yes, we are forgiven. Yes, we have been completely washed and cleansed, and our sins forgiven, but we still got to deal with this thing of sin. We can't overlook this thing of sin. If there's somebody in here tonight, I feel the Holy Ghost wants me to say this. I'm trying to move on, but the Spirit of God won't let me. If there's somebody in here tonight and you're meddling in sin and you think it's not a big deal, I'm telling you, it is a big deal. Jesus said, Peter, if you don't get your feet washed, you're not going to have no part with me. You might come to church and you might get up and sing a special. You might even get up and teach the Word of God, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to do it by yourself. The Holy Ghost of God is not, the Bible says the Spirit of God is quenched. He's grieved by our sin. It's a serious thing, this thing of sin. You got sin in your life. You need to confess it. God, help me if I have sin in my life to confess it. Before I walked in this pulpit tonight, I asked God, God, if there's any sin in my heart, if there's any unconfessed sin in my life, God, show it to me so I can confess it. Nothing between me and my Savior. I want to be clean. Not just from head to toe. I want my feet clean. I want to be a clean vessel, meet for the Master's use. Amen. That's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for some clean vessels, meet for the Master's use. There's some young people in here tonight. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of what I'm saying and you come down to this altar tonight and you confess your sin, God would wash your feet. Jesus would wash your feet and you could get up and you could walk out of this church walking a new way, a new creature, a new person, a new young person. I'm talking with a joy in your soul and a happiness in your heart and a burden for your friends and for your loved ones. I'm telling you, if we get our feet washed tonight, some things could change. There's some people tonight that need a foot washing. They need a foot washing. Been meddling around in the world all week. You say, well, Brother Dave, we was in church all last week. It don't take long. It don't take long. We'll be walking in a dirty world before we get home tonight. We got to stay clean. I'm telling you, there's people tonight, they're missing it. They have no joy. Gee, look at, I'm just preaching now. Look at verse number 17. He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know why there's some people tonight that are not happy? They don't got no joy in their heart because their feet are dirty. Their feet are dirty. You say, Brother David, are you mad about that? No, I'm trying to encourage you tonight. You can get them clean. You can get them clean. You can come to this old-fashioned altar. You don't got to wait to the end of the message. If God, the Holy Ghost, convicts you of your sin, I told you, you don't have to wait to the end. No, when he convicts you and tells you that you're wrong and that you're unclean, hey, you get up, you walk down to this old-fashioned altar, and you cry out to God, say, God, be merciful to me. God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry for what I did. God, I want you to clean me. And can I tell you, you can get up and walk away clean. Clean tonight. I'm talking about clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You say, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. I know what he done. He took your sin and he bore it on his body. He hung on that cross and he died and he was buried. And thank God he got up out the grave and he defeated sin and death forever. Ain't nothing you've done more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. I get so aggravated. These people talk about losing your salvation. Can I tell you, the blood, they say, well, what if you commit adultery? What if you do this? What if you do that? Can I tell you, I'm not for adultery. I think if somebody's committing adultery, they ought to get it right with God. It'll ruin their life. It'll ruin their home. It'll ruin their family. It's ruining this country. But can I tell you, hey, the adultery is not more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not a sin on this earth more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. So I don't care what you've done tonight. I know this. I know there's some blood that can clean you up. And we need to get clean. Peter said, Jesus explained to Peter that continual cleansing. And then he exhorts his disciples, and I got to move on. So we see the explanation. Then we see the exhortation. Look at verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Jesus said, do you understand? Do you understand what I've done to you? Now that I've explained it, do you understand it? And then he begins to exhort them. Look at verse number 13. He said, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus said, hey, I want to exhort you guys. I want to challenge you guys. He said, I've washed your feet. You call me Lord and Master, and I've washed your feet. He said, won't you wash one another's feet? You say, what do you think he's talking about here, Brother David? I'm glad you asked. See, you're just asking. You can get answers. I think he's talking about service. Look at verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. No doubt Jesus is talking about service. He's saying, guys, if I'm willing to serve you, you ought to be willing to serve others. Right. That's what Jesus is teaching his disciples here. He's saying you need to serve one another. But I think personally it goes beyond that. I read after a lot of people, different people in this passage of scripture. Not many of them say this, but I can't see it any other way, Pastor. If you read it in the context of the scripture and what Jesus is talking about, no doubt he's talking about service. He mentioned it in verse number 16. He said he's talking about serving, but I also believe he's talking about sanctifying. He said, if I've washed your feet, he said, shouldn't you be washing other people's feet? Say, what do you mean by sanctifying, Brother David? I believe Jesus is teaching his disciples the same thing that Paul's teaching in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which is spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I believe Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, fellas, hey, if I'm willing to wash your feet, you ought to be wanting to wash other people's feet. You ought to be willing to wash one another's. He actually says one another's feet. Galatians 6, he said, brethren. I believe Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, when one of you get dirty, when one of you fall, when one of you are overtaken in a fault, wash one another's feet. I can't see it any other way. He's saying serve, but he's saying, hey, sanctify. You need to be washing one another's feet. Can I tell you, there's going to be times when we need a brother or sister in Christ to come along and wash our feet. You say, Brother David, that's disgusting. Yeah, I know. I'm not talking. I think Jesus, you know, there's people that literally take this and they make an ordinance of the church. And I really believe Jesus is teaching Peter. He's done already told Peter. He said, Peter, you don't understand, but you will understand. Peter, I'm not talking about a real washing. I'm talking about a spiritual washing. Jesus says, Peter, do you know, I'm talking about spiritually speaking. And so this isn't an ordinance of the church. No, he's saying spiritually speaking, you guys ought to serve one another and you ought to be trying to wash one another. You know, and I know we don't like this, but we need it. Every now and then, it's good for a brother or sister that loves us to come up. Now, you with your spiritual. And say, brother, I've been missing you at church. Brother, I noticed that, you know, this has been going on or that's been going on. And I just want to tell you, I love you, man. I'm here for you. I want to help you. The Bible says, no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. We need one another. I believe Jesus teaches his disciples, you need one another, guys. You're going to mess up. You're going to fall. And when you do, don't kick each other while you're down. Amen. He said, no, you go over there and you wash their feet. Aren't you thankful tonight? There's some folks in here tonight, I guarantee you, that could stand up and testify. They sure are glad that somebody came along and washed their feet. Amen. And if you're saved long enough, you'll be glad that somebody came along and washed your feet. Because we're all going to get dirty in this world. And that's why we need one another every now and then just to come along and share a verse of scripture or have prayer or talk to one another and encourage one another and try to help one another get back on their feet. That's what Nathan was doing. Nathan was washing David's feet. right? I mean, he was washing David's feet. He went to the king. Could have cost him his life. He said, King David, told him a story. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. What's Nathan doing? He's washing David's feet. He said, David, you've failed, but I want to help you get up. God help us to help one another get up. We see a brother fall, we see a brother get in sin. I'm glad I'm in a church. I know who I'm preaching to tonight. Maybe this is just a reminder to somebody, but we're in a church where when people fall, we don't kick them while they're down. We try to help them get up. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. So we see the exhortation, and then last, we see the example. You know, Jesus is always the greatest example. Amen. Look at verse number 15. For I have given you an example. Jesus said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. See, Jesus is the greatest example. I think Jesus is an example. If you could compare these two verses, I thought about this. Philippians chapter 2, right? Philippians chapter number 2, verse number, one of our school students could probably get me started on this. Verse number 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Took upon him the form of a servant. Maybe Paul was talking about this. You know, that's what this is. That's the servant's job. That's why Peter, I wish I had more time to go into. That's why Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? That's what the servants did. And here's the Lord, the master. Jesus is down on his hands and feet washing the disciples' feet. You see, Jesus, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. You see, he's our example. We see his example. We see the example of Jesus in his heart. Look at verse number 1. We see the example of Jesus in his heart. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. I like this. He loved them unto the end. That word end is utmost. He loved them to the utmost. You see, Jesus loved his disciples. You know what will help us to try to do what Jesus is exhorting his disciples to do? If we have love one for another. If we love one another. Not only do we see his example in his heart, you know, the Bible says in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus had a heart for his disciples. He loved them. He had a heart to serve. Jesus had a heart to sanctify. He wanted to clean his disciples up. But not only do we see it in his heart, we see it in his humility. He got down. The Lord Jesus, the God in the flesh, Emmanuel, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, got down on the ground like a lowly servant and washed his disciples' feet. What humility. So we see the example in his heart. We see the example in his humility. I think of Galatians 6:1. I just want to quote it one more time or read it one more time. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. And look, the spirit of meekness. That's that humility that Jesus had. Restore such a one with the spirit of meekness. Consider in thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's that humility. Consider in thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So we see Jesus' exhortation. So my challenge to you tonight is, if you've gotten dirty, I'm done. I'm bringing this to a close. Tonight, it's time to get clean. We're going to have communion. I didn't know, when God laid this message on my heart, I didn't know that we were having communion until I walked in here this morning, and I told Pastor, I said, well, the message God's laid on my heart's going to go right along with it. We're getting ready to have communion. They talk about it in Corinthians, if any man eat unworthily, right? He says, hey, clean up. I'm going to give you here in just a couple minutes, we're going to close this thing out, have invitation, and I'm going to give everybody in here an opportunity to get clean. Wash up. Get ready to take of the Lord's table. You say, I am clean, Brother David. I've been saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that complete cleansing. I hope you are saved. If you're not saved, you definitely don't be eating from the table. But if you're saved tonight, if your sins are forgiven, if you've been washed, been sanctified, justified, then tonight, get that continual cleansing. Come and wash your hands. And if you are clean tonight, I hope we walk out of here tonight a clean bunch. We should. I mean, honestly, really, if we don't walk out of this church tonight a clean bunch of Christians, then I'm afraid for somebody. I mean that. This ain't no game. Go to 1 Corinthians real quick. I was going to go to Luke 22 because I find it interesting. Jesus was telling his disciples about humility and about service. In Luke chapter 22, literally the night of the Lord's table, Jesus' disciples are arguing over who's going to be the greatest. That's unbelievable to me. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians. Is it 1 Corinthians 12? First Corinthians 11. I'm saying this because I think it's a serious thing. Look at verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's let a man wash himself. That's what he's talking about. Let a man come to God and confess his sin and clean up himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep there means die. I'm not trying to scare nobody here tonight, but I'm telling you this. If anybody in this church tonight that takes the Lord's table is not clean when they walk out of here tonight, I'm concerned for them. If you think this is a game, you're sadly mistaken. God is merciful. Thank God he is. God is long-suffering. And thank God he is. But if we think we're just going to come in this church and we're going to listen to this preaching and we're going to partake in these services, we're going to do all that we do, and then we're going to walk down here or we're going to sit in our seat and we're going to take of the Lord's table and we're going to do it with dirty hands and with dirty feet and we don't care, can I tell you, you are playing with fire. I hope our young people understand that. It's a serious thing. We ought to be walking out of this place tonight a clean bunch of Christians. God help us to be clean, right? And once we get clean, and I'm done, once we get clean, and we should leave here tonight clean, let's try to clean somebody else up. I'm not talking about, you know, running around and trying to point out the flaws and the sins in everybody else's life. No, I'm talking about, you know, getting that beam out of our eye so that we can go help our brother get that mote out of his. I'm talking about getting clean so we can go and try to help somebody else get clean. Right. You which are spiritual, restore such a one. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to go ahead. I'm doing the Lord's table tonight, so I'm just going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to have the pianist, whoever's doing the piano tonight, to come. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to get clean tonight.